Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
I really said to myself, if I have a plan B, I'm not going to let plan A have a chance to work. So I'd never had a plan B. It was this or nothing.
Today on Smashing the Plateau, I'm excited to welcome Lisa Ryman, founder of 2iCopy. In this episode, Lisa opens up about her journey from a lifelong learner and corporate employee to a thriving entrepreneur. She shares how embracing her authentic voice not only transformed her own career, but also became the key to helping others, especially women executives, confidently market themselves as they transition to entrepreneurship. Lisa dives into the challenges of self-promotion, overcoming mindset hurdles, and the unique struggles faced by those leaving corporate life behind. She reveals how building community, embracing risk, and learning to communicate with authenticity can help you stand out and succeed, no matter where you are in your business journey. Stay tuned for practical insights, encouragement, and real-world strategies to help you and your business grow. Now let's welcome Lisa Ryman. The founder of 2iCopy, Lisa helps business owners stand out with personality-packed words that sell. She's been featured in Women's Journal and uses the DISC and StoryBrand frameworks to craft copy that connects. Whether it's done for you, DIY, or something in between, Lisa helps brands finally sound like themselves. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and congratulations on 800 episodes.
Thank you. Yeah, did not happen overnight, but we have released episodes every week since we started in 2014, since that first week.
That's amazing.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk a little bit about what it takes to create that kind of consistency. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's start off by talking about you. Can you share a little bit about your career and what led you to entrepreneurship?
Oh, well, I think probably it all started with my dad, who was a serial entrepreneur. So growing up, you know, it was always some new business, some new venture, some new adventure. For my own career, I was an English major because I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to do. And then I was afraid to graduate. So I picked up a second major in college, and that was Russian. And then I did a variety of jobs, things that really spoke to me. I always applied for things that really spoke to me. And I jumped around from, you know, international student office at the university to working at the Women's Commission. And then, you know, I always loved education and the academic environment. I'm a lifelong learner and always want to learn more. And then I just saw by accident a job and it was for a senior copywriter position with a gardening company. And I completely just, you know, let it slide and thought, oh, I'm not qualified. I've never done this before. And then it just kept coming up. So I said, what the heck? And I sent in an application and a cover letter that was so not what people recommend writing in cover letters, and got the job. And that really just launched my copywriting career. So that was how I got into copywriting. If you're interested in how I got into my own business, then I can tell you that too.
Yeah. Before we get to that, what was in your cover letter that was so different than what people recommend?
So, you know, if you go to like a resume site or a resume guru or a teacher, they say, you know, talk about your skills, answer the questions that they talk about in the job description and, you know, all these kinds of things. Basically, it was very stuffy, very formal, very professional, whatever professional means. And I just had fun with it. I said, you know, I'm a crafter. I loved going into the woods and getting dirty and picking up twigs and sticks and flowers and making things out of them and learning about gardening and failing at gardening. You know, this was a company where I thought they would need to know that people were passionate about being outdoors and gardening. And so I just let it show. I don't think there was a professional sentence in that cover letter. It was just fun and it was all personality, which really opened the door to me of saying, you know, your true self is going to attract your true believer. And they liked it.
Right. Which takes a lot of courage on your part.
I think removing myself from the end result really helped. Like this wasn't the thing that I really needed. I wasn't desperate for this job. I didn't think I had a shot in hell. And so I just went for it and it turned out great.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So now let's talk a little bit about the entrepreneurship piece. How did that happen?
So I've had a couple of forays into entrepreneurship over the course of my life. The first was I became a single mom. I had two little girls to take care of. And I really didn't want other people bringing them up. I wanted to be able to, you know, run to school with the lunch that they forgot or the sports thing that they forgot, because kids do, right? And so I just started finding work that I could do at home to be there for my kids. Then later on, the second time around, it was COVID, it was lockdown. I brought in an emergency foster dog, my daughter, I'll blame her fully for it. And when they called us back to the office, you know, I said, no, this dog was reactive. I couldn't send him to daycare. I wasn't going to leave him home alone. He was basically stuck to my hip the entire lockdown period. And I just, you know, I fell back in love with working from home. And so I decided to do it full time, like for real this time.
For real. Yeah. How hard was it to get it off the ground?
Not at all. I think, you know, a lot of people said to me, like, do you have 6 months of savings? Do you have a plan B? Like all those things. And I've always been very much a leap and the net will appear kind of person. Some people call that reckless. I call that optimistic. I really said to myself, if I have a plan B, I'm not going to let plan A have a chance to work. So I'd never had a plan B. It was this or nothing.
Do you think any of that stems from what you experienced growing up? Because you mentioned your father was a serial entrepreneur.
Probably. You know, I love small businesses too. And I think I've always wanted to shop local and support people who are doing their passion projects and really trying to change the world. I think small businesses are the lifeblood of our communities. And so I wanted to be part of that scene. Of course, you know, I watched my father fail a lot of times. He lost a lot of businesses at the same time. He wasn't savvy, or, you know, I didn't learn how to be a good business owner from him. That's for darn sure. But absolutely, I had that model of, if you want to do something, if you have an idea, if you have a solution for some problem, go for it. And that's all companies are. That's all corporate is. Somebody started something small somewhere and grew it. So why not me?
Yeah. No, every big business starts as a small one and starts as somebody's idea.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true. How do you feel about the tangled and joyful mess that entrepreneurship is often?
I love it. I really do. You know, it's not all rosy and joyful all the time. But if you're a person that enjoys challenges and taking risks and getting results and is competitive, those are all what I am, then it's an amazing thing. I get bored easily. I don't like doing the same thing over and over and over again. I think probably the longest I lasted in a job was, you know, 5 years, because once I mastered it, it's like, what's next? Where am I going? What do I want to do? And so entrepreneurship, it's never a dull moment. Some of the moments I could do without, like the financial ones and then, you know, the bookkeeping and the dealing with people, but not my clients, other people. But I love it. I love it. It's something new every day. And I get to set my schedule. I get to do what I want. And that's priceless.
Yeah. So who's your ideal client?
At the moment, it is somebody who is actually becoming a corporate refugee too. So I really love to work with women who have been, you know, executive leaders up there in the corporate world, and they're looking at retirement. And they are not ready to just, you know, sit at home and play pickleball and do retirement-y things. They still have a lot of knowledge to give out to the world and a lot of impact to make, especially to the people behind them. And they don't know how to market themselves because that's not something, it's like parenthood. It's not an innate skill that we have. It's something that we have to learn. And when we work in corporate, the marketing team does everything for us, right? And we just follow the path, follow the set strategy. So the marketing piece is something that people don't enjoy doing. They don't know how to do. And they're really not good, especially women of a certain age, they're not good at pitching themselves. So I'm here to support them, to basically help them own their power in that.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit about how you work, because in the introduction, I talked about crafting copy, but it sounds like what you're doing is a lot more than crafting copy.
It is. I mean, you know, copywriter is a very small, narrow title. I'm definitely more than that. So in a nutshell, I have done for you services. If somebody needs some marketing copy, whether that's a website or email marketing or landing pages, opt-in pages, anything with words that prompt an action or reaction from a prospective buyer, I will do that. I also have workshops and courses for folks who are DIYing it and don't want to give it up or don't have the budget to give it up or are afraid to give it up, because there's all of that. And, you know, in between are sort of hybrid programs as well. So people can have a little bit of help, a little bit of done for you, but doing it themselves. That's really how I operate.
Okay. And what do you think are the, when you look deep down, what do you think are the biggest challenges that, in particular, women executives who are on the cusp of making a major career change, whether it's, you know, formal retirement or they're leaving their job and starting their own thing, deep down, yes, they have to market themselves, but there's probably more to it than that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know a little bit about what you kind of see in your audience as women go through these transitions and what they struggle with.
I think the biggest one is social media, right? That's maybe something that they haven't used a whole lot and definitely haven't used to promote themselves. There may be social media accounts where they've shared pictures or vacations or the grandkids or kids or the things that they're doing. But learning how to use social media as business media and writing that way is really hard for a lot of people. The other thing is the language of social media and the language of marketing. It's not what people were brought up to, you know, not what they learned in school. It's not the flowy, long sentences and flowery language and, you know, start to finish. It's very, very different. And it's very hard for a lot of people to adapt to that and think that it's okay and think that it's not unprofessional.
Why do you think it's so hard for them to adapt?
Because it's new, because it's unfamiliar territory and it's uncomfortable. You know, if it's been drilled into you over and over again that you must write a certain way, that you must present yourself a certain way, that professional means a certain thing, it's very hard to unlearn that and go with something new.
Yeah. Also with social media, once you click the post button, it's gone. There's right? You can't pull it back.
No. But you know, I learned something way back when. So like in the 90s, when we still had dial-up modem and email was first a thing, just dated myself terribly here. But I remember hearing when you send an email, be prepared for the whole world to have access to that. And that's still true. That hasn't changed. And so that's a really powerful thing to just keep mind of. Like whatever you send out into the world, yes, it will never come back, but it hasn't for a long time.
Yeah, that is true. Yes, and it's true. It is very true with email. People often click the send button way too soon. They often click the post button too soon.
Yes, agreed. You can always delete posts, though. You can't delete emails. Just hope somebody hasn't screenshot it first.
True. Although I always wonder, you know, when it comes to like deleting posts, whether it actually really gets deleted or?
It probably leaves a digital footprint somewhere, but you'd have to really dig and know what you were doing to find it. So.
Right. And, you know, in the chance that somebody has seen it and done something with it between the time you posted it and you deleted it, then it, you know, it could grow legs.
Yeah, it really depends on what you said, right?
And how long it is between you clicking post and clicking delete. Yeah, yes. These are all some of the intricacies of social media.
Right.
So true. Mm-hmm. Are there some mindset issues that you end up dealing with when it comes to your clients around the self-promotion thing?
Absolutely. And I think you cover a lot of them with a lot of your guests. You know, everything from, you know, what price should I charge? Am I worth charging that much, you know, or is my service worth that much? Imposter syndrome, right? Who am I to offer this service? All those kinds of things are loom large, I should say. Yeah. Mindset is 99% of it. And if you let that little voice in, it grows bigger and louder. So it's all about quieting that voice.
Yeah. So as the service provider, what techniques do you use to quiet that voice?
For myself and my clients?
For clients.
Yeah. I believe in cheering them on and cheering them up. So I really let or have a different perspective for them. And I just tell them what I see. I don't pull any punches. I also don't sugarcoat things. You know, so I'm not going to tell you you're amazing no matter what. I will ask hard questions. I will require responsibility and accountability. But I will also tell them, you know, you are your worst enemy and stop it. Tough love in many respects.
Do you also work with larger organizations or is it primarily solopreneurs?
Primarily solopreneurs, small businesses, you know, up to about 100 strong. I'm not really working with large corporations. I really like the smallness.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of challenges, besides the mindset and the self-promotion pieces, and dealing with new things like social media that your clients face, when it comes to actually engaging with a prospect, closing a deal, and doing the work, where do you see them having some challenges today? Like for example, one of the things I notice is there's a lot of indecision in our world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of flux, a lot of chaos. And as a result, even companies with big budgets seem reluctant to pull the trigger on doing something new or hiring an employee, engaging a consultant, even though they may know they need to do it. It seems like the whole process of decision-making just takes forever. There's a lot of ghosting going on where consultants are, they have a prospect, they have some conversations and all of a sudden prospect ghosts them. They can't figure out why. I'm just wondering what kinds of trends you're seeing going on in the consultant-client relationship sphere.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty lucky. I haven't seen a whole lot of that personally. The way that I operate is really building relationships and really vetting my clients as well. So as much as they're vetting me, I'm vetting them. And early on in my career, I took anybody that had a pulse or a wallet, right? We all did. But I'm much more selective now because that's what's better for both sides. So, you know, I really make sure that I'm serving the people that have the results that they're selling and that it aligns with my values and my integrity and really making sure that we have connected deeply first. So I'm also in Vermont. So here, relationships and personal connection and trust are really, really important. And that has really helped me build that trust in the online space as well. So really connecting with people, building a community, and then, you know, then people come to me when they need something. I think, you know, also to your earlier point, marketing and sales are often two issues that companies struggle with. Like, where do we put our dollars? And half the time, when they can only pick one, they'll say, well, we're going to go with sales. We're not going to go with marketing. And I'm not here to, you know, shame anybody or judge them or force them to invest in marketing. But when the sales don't work, I'll still be here and I'll serve you when you're ready.
Yeah, well said. Let's talk a little bit further about the relationship and community piece that you just mentioned. Where do you see community really being essential when it comes to entrepreneurship?
Oh, it's critical. You don't even know what you don't know when you start a business. And being good at what you do doesn't mean that you're going to do business well. There are so many things that you don't know, from how to set up the legal back end, to the insurance, to the marketing, to payroll, to hiring employees, to retaining employees, you know, all the things. And so for me, I had to get out into the community. I'm also an introvert and I work from home. So I needed to get myself outside and connect and be around other humans. I joined a networking group. We meet every week. And so learning from other business owners, learning what they're going through, what they offer, how they help other business owners succeed has been massive to my own success. You know, we're not solitary beings. We can't do anything alone. There's always somebody to learn from, and there's always somebody to teach.
Yeah. And speaking of learning and teaching, Lisa, what's your experience been with mentors and mentoring?
Mentoring, my philosophy is get a mentor, be a mentor. You cannot do this alone. I mean, you know, like I just said, don't reinvent the wheel. It takes too darn long. So, you know, if we want to fast track success, then we really need to invest in mentorship, whether that is a mastermind or a course or some sort of program, or just, you know, asking somebody, hey, you're really great. You've achieved what I want to achieve. Could you mentor me? I think a lot of people are really afraid to ask somebody that question. And then paying it back, you know, this sort of goes in with that imposter thing, right, too, of like, who am I to teach others? But you only have to be one or two steps ahead of somebody to be able to help them and then turn around and actually help them.
Yeah. Lisa, I want to go back to some of the things we talked about earlier about your own transition from employee to entrepreneur. If you could get a do-over, what would you do differently?
You know, I think I have a different answer to that question every time. I think nothing. I think, you know, it's really easy to look back. Hindsight is 20/20. Maybe I would have done it sooner. Maybe I would have, you know, taken action sooner, invested in myself sooner. But I think everything taught me what I needed to learn. I don't think I'd be here if I hadn't gone through all those educational steps. So
thanks for sharing that. Lisa, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today or access any resources you have, learn more about you, get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
My website, 2icopy.com, spelled out, or YouTube. I just started a YouTube channel, so I'm going to be putting lots of resources, that educational component and paying it back and paying it forward will be there. So that's youtube.com/@2icopy.
Oh, great. Congratulations on getting the YouTube channel launched. That's very exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and sharing a little bit about yourself and some great insights. My guest today has been the founder and chief troublemaker, as you call yourself, at 2icopy. Lisa Ryman, thank you, Lisa, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. Please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.